Well, what a beautiful way to begin a Christmas Eve a service. I'm so thankful that you came out tonight. It's been something I've been looking forward to. I haven't seen you in a while, and I'm glad that we get to be together tonight. The theme for tonight's service is that is Christ is the light of the world. And John writes that the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So we light the Christ candle tonight as we proclaim his light in the world. I'd like for us to bow and pray if we could. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that people like us would have the honor of worshiping the Lord Jesus, celebrating his light in the world because he has shown his light in our lives. And so I pray that as we sing the carols of the season, as we share the message of the incarnate Christ child, that we would draw our own hearts closer to yours in this blessed season of the year. And so we pray that you would just guide our service, guide our hearts and even our thoughts as we proceed tonight. And we lift this prayer to you in the beautiful, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to borrow a word that I heard a sportscaster use the other night when a football team was doing very erratically. He used this word, discombobulated. I'm really not sure that's a word, but it's what this Christmas season has been like for me. It's been just, it's been odd. I've of course, got some crazy news and all this, and haven't really, you try to figure out how you're supposed to act and all these things but it's just not been easy. I mean, we had Christmas decorations up in our house, I think, before Halloween. But somehow it wasn't until tonight when I came in and the worship team was practicing, and then Jamie did such a beautiful job preparing us with the violin and things, and I couldn't stand very long, but I sat for a while during the music, and I've sung those carols all my life. But tonight, the words just reached out and grabbed my heart, and there were times I had to stop. I'm very, very thankful that I've never taken this assignment lightly. I don't mean New Hope. I mean any pastor that I've had. It's always been a little bit intimidating to me that I would be someone that would stand up and talk to people and say, "Thus saith the Lord." About 30 years ago, I guess, I was speaking with a friend of mine, and he was a pastor on the Dallas district. I think the last I heard, he was in Kansas City now and a pastor there. His name is John Merrill. And we were talking one afternoon, and he said, Fred, I think maybe we were at some pastor's retreat or something like that. And he said, Fred, what do you think your job is as a pastor? And I said, well, it's probably colored a little bit by my mentor, who was my pastor for when I first came to the church in Nazarene. I said, but I think that my job, what I see my task is to paint as clear a picture as I can of what the kingdom of God looks like. And to do my very, very best to show people how to get there and how to live that life and how to somehow rehearse the kingdom of God even as we live in this place. I won't be able to speak for very long, but I do want to say that when I think my perspective on that has shifted a little bit. I still like the way it sounds, and I'm not so sure I don't agree with the thought, but my focus in these last few years has probably narrowed a little bit. There are so many ministries to do. There's so many facets of the Christian life and Christian service. But I'm a big fan of keeping it simple. I heard a speaker not too long ago. Actually, he was one of my professors in seminary. His name was Dan Wallace, and we had we met and we kind of renewed our friendship. And he was very, very complimentary that I was still in the ministry. And he says, you don't know how many times that I go into places and I see men that started out good and somehow they just couldn't keep it going. He says, and I think I discovered what it is. He says, they sought to serve Jesus without loving him. And I'll tell you, that's what's kept me going for 34 years. Kind of got a late start. But when the days have been long, when I know that I had not done particularly well, or when things were not going the way I thought they should for whatever reason, the thing that keeps me going back and back and back and back is I love him. When my dear friend and mentor Bob Nielsen passed away, I went to his funeral in Dallas. Adam traveled with me. We lived in Florida at the time. Adam traveled with me to Dallas. And we went to his funeral, and I remember there were just person after person after person would stand up and tell what a good man he was, and he was, and tell how much he meant to them and what a friend he had been. And finally, just before the message was preached, and the theme of that message was a life well lived. But just before the message, Neil, his son, his youngest son, got up and began to talk about his dad. And he said, what I liked most, or what I love most about my dad is that he was very, very simple. He just loved Jesus. I've been here for, well, about 2 3/4 years maybe. Came in May, I suppose, 2019. And preached a lot of sermons. But what I want for you, more than anything in the world, is that you love Jesus. Now, I don't mean loving the idea of Jesus. I mean, a lot of people love the whole idea of self-giving and sacrifice and all these kind of things. A lot of things about the idea of Jesus that are attractive across the spectrum, whether you're a religious, whether you're a Christian or not. The whole idea of Jesus is easy to be attracted to, but that's not what I want you to do. I'm not interested that you love the idea of Jesus. I'm really not all that interested that you absorb with the stories. And I say that a little bit uneasily because I love the Gospels that just tell the story of Jesus, and I love the stories, but I want you to do more than just to love the stories. I want you to love the person. It wasn't a story that hung on the cross because he loved you so much. It wasn't an ideal that allowed God the Father to watch his son die for you. It was the love that Jesus had, that for the joy set before him, endured the cross. So I'm not trying to get you to love the ideal. I'm not trying to get you to love the stories, although I do. I want you to love the one. The Bible says that the Word became flesh. That's what the incarnation, that's what this is about. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Spend the rest of your lives discovering how to love him, because he loved you first. Let me pray for us for a moment. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. You promised that you wouldn't leave us, and you never have. Never for a moment have I ever felt alone. And I'm so grateful that the hand that has guided my life and has reached out and brought me back when I've wandered, and received me when I've wept, and embraced me when I needed love. Teach us how to love you. And as we make our way through this season, make it just not be a time where we celebrate stories wonderful traditions, but that we are reminded that we are loved. And I pray we'd spend the rest of our lives loving you back. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to light the candle and then light Barbara's, and she'll make her way, and we can light each other's. And so we'll begin our candlelight service. God bless you. Thank you for coming out on a beautiful night. And we love you dearly. Good night. Good to see you.